Y'all ready to unpack? You are now listening to the Junk Out of the Chump podcast, your platform to relate, relax, and release. I am your host, Kiva Coles Benton, and young woman seeking her way through this thing called life, just like each and every one of you. I know that there will be something in this podcast that you can relate to. So sit back, relax, and enjoy. And we're live. So we are in the last episode of season two.
Ooh.
So we're about to hit it hard and fast.
Yes.
So I decided to bring back some old friends and I brought some new ones on board because she helped me come up with the idea for a very good topic to end off the season. So hey, Fancy AF. Welcome back to the Junk Out of the Chump podcast.
Hi, everybody. Hey, party people. How y'all doing? Great to be back.
And I brought my good sis, my wine sister, to help us out because technically this is kind of your show today because it was your idea.
It was your idea.
So this is my sister, Shay, guys. Say hello to the people.
Hey, how y'all doing? It's your girl, Shay.
Yes. So I don't even know where to begin with this, so
just dive right into it.
We're just gonna dive right into it, and the first things first question is it okay for Black women to date and or marry outside of their race? First of all, Shay, what made you like
So I recently just became single, and I've just been, you know, talking to different guys the past 3 months, and I noticed, I was like, wow, like all of them are like Black. And I was like, is that like my preference or like, am I scared to date outside my race? And so that just kind of like intrigued me. And I really like started to think about it like, well, if I did decide to do that, what would it look like? Mm. And how would I meet these guys? I would have to go to different like events or outside of what I'm used to. Right. I'm used to going to like a happy hour with my girlfriends. You know what I'm saying? But like, say if I went to something that's like totally outside of what I wanted to do. Like, I don't know, a rave.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Like,
you
meet type
where
of
would you
there.
Meet him?
Yeah. Right.
I don't know if I would want to, if I decided to date outside my race, if I would want to meet him at a rave.
Where would you go?
Oh, is it Power Plant?
Power Plant. Yeah.
Or Planet Fitness.
Or like Planet Fitness, Wonder Planet.
Or like a Fells, I guess.
Right.
Yeah. It's like you have to immerse yourself in where they are.
Yeah.
Because I know all the Black men is, right? I'm about to go to the park in D.C. Yeah. So it's, you know, I was like, And then I thought, how would my dad feel? My mom is cool. You know, she's like, love is love. But like, how would my father feel? Because that's the person I want to walk me down the aisle.
Right.
And so his opinion means a lot to me. I mean, he may not get the final say, but like what he says is like, weighs heavy.
That's how it came up with.
My father told me not to bring a white boy home.
Man, what? Clearest day. And I was like, why? Yeah. Like,
what is it, right? Like, what do you... He never told me why, and I didn't think to ask either because it wasn't on my radar anyways.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, that's probably not going to happen, so haha, okay, Dad, whatever.
Yeah, it was never something I wanted for myself anyway. I don't know why. Never came in my head to even think about dating somebody outside of my race for some reason.
But it's crazy because, you know, I've been going to church and we talk about being single and what it means to be single, but also what it means to be single and available.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying? And so who's to say that God's man for me is Black?
Right.
And that's when I started to think about that too. Yeah. What if this entire time I walked past my husband, my future husband, many times, the only reason why I didn't look his way is because he wasn't Black.
Exactly.
Wow.
People hit me with that before too, because I mean, I'm Nigerian. So like when people ask me what my preference is, it goes even deeper than that. Like I don't just want to date a Black guy, I want to date a Nigerian guy. And not just a Nigerian guy from my tribe that speaks my language. You see what I'm saying? So it's like all these like things.
Yeah.
And somebody be like, oh, well, I mean, what if your husband's not Nigerian? Or what if he's not Christian? Like, what if he's not? You know, we just always ask the question, what if they're not, you know, what we're used to? And then she's like, I don't know.
Well, Christian, that's different.
Yeah.
It's like, religion's
a non-negotiable.
Right.
Your culture and other things, those are things you incorporate and adapt to.
Right. But I mean, some people
can't compromise on religion.
Some people do, though.
That's definitely
it's hard.
It's a part.
I know there's some people who I know that.
Like, oh, I'm Catholic, but
yeah,
he's Muslim.
I've seen Muslims
like,
and Christians
like?
Married before. I'm just like, I've seen the good side and the bad side of that, though. Because there are struggles, and it's always going to, especially when you have kids in the mix, it'll turn into a whole different thing. But you can relate that back to, like, being, you know,
I'm one of those kids.
The same race. It's like, what do you do? It's very difficult.
Yeah.
Because, like, do you want your kids to go with their white side more or their black side? Do you want it to feel like it's a difference?
Right.
Because there's still people at the end of the day. Like, I really like the show Mixed-ish, the version of Black-ish.
I've never seen it. It's good. Either.
And you know what? Black Twitter almost ruined this show for me, and I am so upset with you guys because they were like, oh, why is it that it's not hard to be mixed in America? It's not hard to be mixed.
Blah, that's blah, false. Blah.
And that's it's a blatant lie. Like, because what's the name? The movie that came out a couple years ago with the loving couple where they were like, the husband was white, the wife was black, and they were fighting for like interracial marriages at that time.
Mm.
Yeah, that movie came out, I think, like 2 years ago. Mm. So, but like, it was basically, the show was like Rainbow and her like mixed brothers and sisters, her mom and dad are like black and white, but right. They don't see it as a problem. So they're like fighting with both of their sides. It's like, well, I don't want to be too white, but I don't want to be too black, but I don't see, the kids were like, I don't get it. We're just us. And they had lived on like some commune somewhere. So they were coming back into the world. Everybody's just looking like, no, it's either white or black. You have to pick one. So the kids are struggling the entire show, basically.
Right. Yeah.
And I think it's good to see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes me think of, what was it called? American Son with Kerry Washington.
Yeah.
That's exactly what that makes me think of. Yeah. I just watched that maybe about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And so when you said that they don't struggle, I immediately thought of that,
right.
Especially because the father left.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, she was saying because he left, that kind of white side was taken away.
Right.
And then that's when her son finally started to walk into who he was and what he looked like, mm-hmm. and identifying with the fact that he was black.
Yeah.
And that was a kind of like identity crisis for him. In addition to the fact that he's a teenager, he's going through identity crisis So, wow, the fact that someone would even say that.
Yeah, it was very insensitive.
You don't have issues just because
a lot of people on Twitter said, it's like, oh, like, I wish that they had some darker skinned people on this show. I'm like, but mixed people are black and they have issues.
And they have issues.
Their issues
come from both sides.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's any more or less complicated, but it's like, I'm black and I know I'm black and I understand that because I'm black. Those are the issues that come with it.
Mm-hmm.
But okay, but I have white counterparts. Like, I am part white. So.
Right.
Yeah.
What does that mean for me? That's a true identity.
No, like, I think the best episode that I saw, because it was only one season so far, was when they went to the country club, and their white grandfather has a membership of this country club. Mm-hmm. So here come them, and they black-ass mom with their afros.
Right.
And they're just sitting there, and they're black people that work at the country club. It's like, yes, we got some black people here. On the other side, like, they're not serving. That's cool. So they were really hype about that. But then the little boy was like, oh, I want some watermelon. And his aunt was like, oh, I want some chicken. And their mom's like, no, we don't want to eat that. Let's get something else. Like, why are you trying to hide the fact that your kid wants watermelon? Because to him, he's like, I want fruit.
Right.
He's this little curly haired, mixed looking black, but he was so confused as to why he couldn't eat the watermelon in front of the white people while the other black people were like work there, were judging them, like, no, don't eat the watermelon, don't eat the watermelon.
Yeah.
That's what they want you to do.
They want you to eat.
And he's just like,
right.
I just want watermelon.
Yeah.
You know?
Some tangerines.
Baby. Right. That's exactly what his mom was doing. So he was trying to. It was so hard. Like, I was just looking at him like,
daggone shame.
It's funny, but because the way they did it, but it's just like, bro, like, this is really a struggle. This little boy's mom is like, fighting because she's black. She's like, she knows what this means,
right?
But to him, he's so innocent. He's exactly. Just like, they just asked me what I want to eat, mom.
It truly takes away a child's innocence.
It really does
for no reason at all.
So that's
makes
a lot.
Them grow up faster than what they need.
Mm-hmm. They start to see like the really bad side of the world way too fast.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Some people say it's good to expose them to that, but I like to maintain their innocence.
Yeah, that's sad, but they never do.
Yeah,
they never really do.
But that was good.
Yes, in light of relationships and the challenges of being in a relationship. So Shay, you mentioned basically your relationship with your grandparents and how you saw the way that they loved one another growing up and how I guess you could say that you, I guess, looked up to that in a sense. So do you feel like that kind of what I call back in the day love, do you think that still exists? Like, do you think when we find our husbands that we'll find that, like, it'll be a thing?
It gives me hope. I will say, this is very interesting. So my grandfather is not my biological grandfather.
Okay.
The one who is my biological grandfather, he passed away, rest his soul, you know what I'm saying? But my grandmother remarried.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow.
Interesting.
Now my mom was not cool with that, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the fact that she remarried, it just, I don't know, she started a whole new family. My mother was still around. She had two kids from that marriage. And we're all very close. And I really admired the man that I don't even want to call him my step-grandfather. He's my grandfather. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Is. Like, he's very, like, handy. He built the second floor of his house in Arkansas. Like, he the love he has for my grandma is amazing. She has knee problems and she has difficulty getting upstairs on the second floor. So what he did was he rebuilt the stairs with his hands so that when she walks up the stairs, she walks sideways, and there's a wooden bar that'll, like, if she were to trip, it kind of catches her foot.
Okay. Wow.
And I'm like, he really put thought into that, even reconstructed the bathroom for her.
Wow.
And to know that that type of love still exists, it gives me hope.
Absolutely.
He's also a God-fearing man. So I can't just have a man who has good looks and good income. That's kind of, that would be shallow of me.
Right.
So I need someone who's able to be able to speak with me below the surface.
Mm-hmm.
And so just seeing that type of love, they could be in the same room and not talking. He could be watching Westerns and she could be like on her phone talking to her friends in town. And that right there is peaceful for them.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a whole bunch of distractions and they can still come together and they can pray, you know, hang out with their grandkids, their children.
Mm-hmm.
So I aspire to have that type of love. But the conversation I had on the phone with my dad, who is, like, strongly against me bringing home a white man. Like, strongly.
Let's talk about
going back to what you said about having children with someone who has a different religion than me. My father's a 5%er. My mom is a Christian. She grew up in a Baptist church. And so she was like, don't talk to my kids about that type of stuff. Da, da, da. And so it could have been very confusing for me. But now that I'm older, I am intrigued about what keeps him going. Because I know what motivates me is God. So what motivates you when you're in difficult times and then when you're good? So, I don't know. I want that. I want that. I don't know what it looks like. I will say what I've been taught is to pray for your husband, even if he's not physically there. You need to have those conversations with God. And I was talking to my homegirl. Shout out to Shashira.
Okay, yes, she's wonderful.
She beats my face.
Yes,
you can follow her
sure
at _ T Beats. Or _ it's tea time.
She beat my face before too.
Okay.
And
she was like, you know, and I'd be telling her, like, I'm single, I'm battling all these things. Like, you know, like, I'm sexually frustrated. Da, da, da. She was like, pray for that. Pray for your husband to have that type of energy. You get what I'm saying? But also can be restrained, be respectful.
Right.
And talk to God about that. Let him know you're frustrated. And just be like, talk to God about what you want your husband to look like. So when he comes, like I said, you're available to receive that type of love he's trying to give you.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of also gives me hope in regards to Black love. Like, I ain't going to give up on it just yet and go drink some milk real quick. You know what I'm saying?
That's true.
A little cream in your coffee.
And, sugar.
Right.
I thought about
little cream
it.
Weed. Little chantanum.
Yes, chantanum.
Yes, chantanum. I like chantanum.
Me too. Like, we all like chantanum.
We all like chantanum. And Paul, rest his soul. I love you,
yes,
Paul.
Yes,
Paul.
Yes.
I love you, Paul. That was it, though. That was it.
Mm-hmm.
So on the completely other side of the spectrum is back in the day love something that we want to still exist or aspire to have?
I guess you can say it kind of goes on a case-by-case basis.
Absolutely. Everything's on a case-by-case.
Because when you think about the type of love that Shay's describing, that's healthy, that's whole, that's beautiful. They're equally yoked. Like, there's a strong foundation there. Even though, you know, she had somebody before and he took on a kid that wasn't his type thing. You know, they built another family. That's the type of stuff we're talking about, like handymen. But then on the flip side, there was also that time period where it's like guys were doing everything. The women were the homemakers.
Yeah.
They ran the house. It's like, well, I'm making the money. I'm providing for you to do anything. Like, your husband ran the finances. Like, hey, here's the checkbook. I need to do this. And you're asking for everything. And then I feel like because there's so much stress on men, then a lot of them would drink a lot.
Mm.
When you drink a lot, you start to misbehave and they would cheat on their wives and then act like it's not okay. And the wives would know and they'd be quiet about it, or they'd be abusing their wives or yelling at their kids. And we've all seen these, you know, like in movies and real life, people that we know, but the women don't leave. It's just like, why were you miserable, like, you know, your whole life? It's like, oh, but my kids are my joy, my kids are my everything. But then your kids would want to get married too, and then you're back with this person.
Right.
So then what do you do?
Then you have empty nest syndrome.
Right, and you're just stuck.
You're living with this person that you don't really know.
Right.
And that you decided to live with because you didn't want that stigma.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
You're spending your life tolerating somebody. And you don't want to be tolerated. And the worst advice I always hear when we talk about marriage is, oh, endure, endure. And it's never that the man should endure for some reason. It's like,
so
no, you endure whatever your husband's going, you know, putting you through. Like, if he's, you know, abusing, cheating, whatever. Oh, they all do that. They all do that. Just, you know, it just comes with the territory. No, it doesn't.
Yes, that's something that I've never understood. I never could get my
your head around it?
My head around, like, a lot of women I do know have experienced a lot of these things. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, what keeps you there? Like, I always want to ask, but I honestly never feel comfortable. Like,
right.
Why did you tolerate all of that? And then, like, I was telling you, like, I don't feel like they ever even had anything else to compare it to.
Yeah.
At the same time, like, they spend all of their lives committed to this one guy. I mean, you, maybe they might try to venture out eventually, but they always, like, still end up going back.
Mm-hmm.
So at what point do you even really know who you are and what you like if you've only been with one guy?
Hmm.
And I feel like that's a stigma and a thing that they have, like, stuck to them that, oh, you know, if you venture out, if you date other men or things like that, that it's like promiscuous or something right. like that. But it's like, you have to date, I feel like, to know
what you like,
what you like and what you don't like.
Yeah. But I mean, they also put pressure on women, because say you're a woman who's in like her 30s now, you already have two kids.
Mm-hmm.
That's already baggage.
Right.
Then they make it seem like, oh, nobody's going to want you. Oh, you're sagging different places now because childbirth puts your body through hell. So now your self-confidence is down. You're like, this man just took all this from me. He can just go out and, you know, go find somebody else.
Yeah.
Nothing happened to his body.
Yeah.
But here you are looking not as maybe as good as you did coming into this marriage.
Mm-hmm. I don't feel
so,
as good.
Yeah, you feel like everything, you do have to consider the kids. I mean, there's rare cases where, like, the kids will just be like, oh, I want to go with dad. You know what I'm saying? But even still, it wouldn't be as a burden because you can't physically see it on him.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's also just like, well, where am I going to go? Nobody's going to want me. Nobody's going to, you know.
Right.
So they just tell themselves that. And if, like, all your friends are going through the same thing you're going through, because that's literally what everyone did then, what do you really do?
Definitely.
I will say, just like there are some single moms out there that are kind of, like, struggling with, you know, finding someone.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to think that they're trying to find somebody to be the father of their kids.
Right.
But just trying to find someone for themselves. I don't know if you guys have seen the movie The Photograph.
I have.
But it was deep.
I have seen it.
I saw it on multiple different perspectives.
Okay.
I saw it off of May, which is basically the main character of the whole movie.
Yeah, that's Issa Rae's character.
And then saw it based off of her mother. I can't really remember her mother's name, but just like, it's like, you know, at the end of the day, your mother was a woman before she was a mom.
Right.
And I think you should pay attention to that, because just while she was raising you, she was also still young and trying to figure out what she likes and what she doesn't like and what she should do and what she shouldn't do.
Yeah.
And she didn't have a relationship with her mother. So it's kind of like she's going off, like she's winging it, per se. And my point to that is just like there are some single moms out here winging it. I want to give credit to the single Black fathers.
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely.
They exist.
Absolutely.
More
they sure
than
do.
We acknowledge
sometimes. They sure do.
Yeah.
They sure do.
And they trying to figure out the best of their ability.
Yeah.
For real. They are, because they be struggling too with
especially
some of these children.
They have girls
mothers.
Or something. They just don't know what to do. It's like, how do you raise a woman if you're a man? You don't really know, you know? So that's a whole nother struggle that they definitely do.
Shout out to the grandmas that be helping.
Yes, for real.
Shout out to the grandmas.
They really serve as the foundation
it's
sometimes.
Hard. It's true.
It takes a village.
A lot of the time.
It sure does take a village. Even if you have two parents, it takes a village.
It
so
sure
if
do.
You just have one, it's like, sheesh.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard. I mean, they get it done, but shout out to you.
They absolutely do. So back to this thing about dating outside of your race.
Mm-hmm.
Why do we think that dating outside of our race is a solution to when you've been in an unsuccessful relationship with a man that is a Black man? Like, why is it, oh, I've dated so many Black men and it's not seemed to working, so I'm about to just go find me a white man. And honestly, I know I've been guilty of like joking about it.
Me too.
But I don't truthfully that.
I don't
serious.
Mean it, but
I don't be meaning it. I guess I have to be mindful of that I probably shouldn't joke that way.
Mm-hmm.
So an accountability thing. But why do we do that? Like, I don't know. Yeah.
It's like we feel like we've tried the same thing and it's like a broken record at this point. Let's try to switch it out and see if, you know, is it me or is it the type of people I'm dating? You know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes we always think like, okay, well, you like tall guys that you meet at the club. Well, maybe you shouldn't date guys you meet at the club. Let's try guys you meet at the gym. See if, you know, that's the difference. So it seems like if you've tried all the other avenues, you're like, all right, man, I went to the club, the gym, the church, everywhere. Let's try a different race, maybe, because it's like, you know, there's cultural differences, societal differences. It's like, maybe it'll work out. I know the actress and Queen and Slim, y'all know she's married to a white guy?
And pregnant, girl.
She's married to a white guy. And I mean, of course, you know, her and Daniel Kaluuya in that movie was like Black power, Black blood.
Yeah.
It was so beautiful.
Right. Like, I want it.
Yeah, but then when they actually, they're like, well, you're married to a white guy. Like, why is that? And she was like, honestly, a white guy was the first man to ever make me feel beautiful. Wow. And I was like, well, what do you mean? And she, and if you kept reading the thing, she was like, all the black guys that I ever saw, because she's darker skin, they made fun of her skin, her hair color, the texture of her hair, her body type. They just never made her feel beautiful. Yes, so it's like, that's, I don't even know if her dad is in her life. It's like, if her dad's not in her life, there's literally no black man giving her the type of attention. And this white guy comes out of nowhere. He just happens to be white, but it's just a man. He's like, you're beautiful. You're the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. If any guy says that to you, you're going to take it, you know, pay attention to it. And you haven't been getting that from people who are supposed to be like your brothers and stuff, and they look like you, but they still telling you that you're ugly.
Right.
So what are you supposed to do?
Yes, and I think that's an accountability thing as far as a lot of black men too, that they claim that they have their preferences, but sometimes that's embedded in colorism.
Yeah.
And so it's like nobody is angry at you about wanting to date a white woman. You know, there's always this thing like, oh, well, when y'all say y'all want to date white men, no, we aren't supposed to say anything or it's not a problem. But when we go and do it, it seems to be a problem. And it's like, not that it's necessarily a problem that you want to date a white woman, but what's, why are you really dating a white woman? Is it because you are really in love with her or because you want to try to insult black women?
And you know, we see that because we're on Twitter.
Exactly. And it happens all the time where it's never just, oh, I'm dating my white girlfriend because I'm just really in love with my white girlfriend. It's, oh, I'm dating my Sally because Shaniqua don't never know when to be quiet. She always loud. She ignorant. She don't listen to me and just do what I want her to do.
She says she don't need
Sally,
a man.
Yeah, my Sally, she does that. She never questions me.
Right.
So would you want to date somebody that doesn't empower you to be different?
Some people want to be sad, and it makes them feel powerful. Yeah, it makes them feel powerful. They have like that male ego dominance thing. Some people really like
You'll never go anywhere.
Oh, ever.
And it's really sad because black women, we see a lot in our black men, more than what they see in themselves.
Absolutely.
We'll tell you what you don't see in the mirror.
Absolutely.
And then we'll tell you why we're attracted to you, why we love you. And they'll still go out and find it somewhere else because they'd rather, it's the ego. It's going back to what you said, it's the ego. And it's really sad. It's really sad, especially when we put a lot of energy in building him up. And then he leaves us because now he feels confident in where he is, but doesn't acknowledge the fact or give us credit that we helped them get there. I call it the Kevin Hart syndrome. And then they go, I'm not saying they may go to a white woman, just a woman from a different race. You know? And then we're left like, wow.
You did all this work, put all this into this man for him to go give somebody else to enjoy.
Right.
That happens a lot.
I don't know if you've seen that movie. Listen, I'm a movie watcher.
Me too.
Acrimony.
Girl.
Oh, yeah.
Girl.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, I felt both sides on that.
Same.
It's like, yeah, she was OD, but I understand the pain.
Love will make you OD.
Love will make you go off the edge like that.
Like, for real, because homeboy was a bum. We're not even going to lie.
Absolutely.
Like, he could have did something else in his spare time to get some type of money and, like, you know, work up, you know, do all his stuff. You work your 9 to 5, you come back home, you work on your dream. That's what the rest of us do.
Right.
So why couldn't he do that? So I understand why she was pissed. What was it, 20-something, 17 years of her life? And he just comes, like, oh, yeah, I made it. Here's some money. Like, okay, yeah, he tried to take care of her like that. But as a woman, it's like she didn't waste her time.
Absolutely.
Her energy, her funds, finances, her body. She sacrificed her body.
I don't want the money. I want the finished
Right. product. Like, she wanted the work, the dream, the life with you that you guys talked about. Because he went and did everything he said he was going to do for someone else. And he wouldn't have been there if she wasn't able to pay the bills for the past 17 years. So you could focus on this. So it's just like, really, bro?
Yeah.
And she wasn't just building him up. She was doing two jobs.
Yeah.
She was helping him while she was trying to help herself.
Exactly. Right.
And that's exhausting.
Very.
Okay.
Absolutely. That's why I know that it's like, I don't want to be like that build the man
thing.
Like, I don't want that because then you're not going to leave me disappointed in all my hard work goals and credit goals to someone else. Like, I understand the spiritual aspect. Like, sometimes you have to understand that certain people in your lives are temporary assignments. And that's maybe I'm building him up for him
but
to actually
find. Ain't an assignment,
but everybody is not an assignment. I can't have every man coming into my life and he don't got it together and then I'm forced
here
to
you are about
be
to
with
build,
your mama and do
working
like,
it.
Like, there's a difference.
I don't like that.
That goes to both of you being whole when you come together.
Exactly.
Right. I don't want you to be 75%, I'm 25, or I'm 25, you 75.
Exactly.
No, we both 100.
That's right.
And individuals.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
It's very important. And then it's like, you never really see it in culture. I don't know if it's just something that we don't talk about, but you never see the man building up the woman and making her better and, you know, helping her, you know,
absolutely
change herself.
It's our job
and, you know,
to do that.
It's always like us. And it's like, I get that we're the nurturing ones. We multitask like that.
Naturally.
It's just like, it's also exhausting.
When you said, oh, both of us have to be whole. What was that? We're on a relationship series at church and they be dropping good gems. And he said, I was slow because I couldn't do math, and I learned I couldn't do math. I'm a little rusty because he was like, what's a quarter times a quarter? So he's basically, if you have a man who's only a quarter full, essentially, and a woman who's only a quarter full, essentially. And I'm like, oh, that's just only one whole person. Mm-hmm. But I was like, you can't do math. A quarter and a quarter, a quarter and a quarter is a half.
Right.
So essentially, you have two broken people who aren't full, and then they get together, and now all you have is a half.
Right. All y'all doing is just licking each other's wounds.
That's pretty much it. So you really nothing to give, even if you're halfway there, a half and a half.
I talked about that in one of my relationship podcasts too, because it's just like, that's a lot of burden you're trying to put on somebody
else.
It's
that's
like,
not
if
reasonable.
They're not complete and you're not complete, you expect them to fix you for you,
that's
bro.
Reasonable.
They're still trying to fix themselves.
Right.
That's a lot.
That's
I come in as a source of your happiness because you are already unhappy. If I mess up one time,
that's it.
I'm automatically disappointing you.
Yeah.
Whatever flame we had it out.
Because it's too much work. You can't have a bad day because their happiness depends on you. That's not fair.
Right.
Because then what about when you need some happiness?
Exactly.
They can't be there.
And I just think that's in not even just dating relationships.
Oh, friendships too.
You can't make other people accountable for your happiness or for your emotional well-being.
Right.
Like, yes, I want to be able as your friend to depend on you or talk to you or whatever, but it's not my responsibility to fill that void, especially not one that I wasn't responsible for putting there.
Right.
So whatever you have going on that's causing you to be something this way, or you don't trust, or you don't, that's stuff that you got to work on yourself.
Right.
Because then you're putting the weight on me to kind of be accountable for that. And that's not fair, because then that's taking a toll on me.
Right.
And you're putting me on a pedestal that I don't need to be on.
Right. Yeah.
So
you're walking on eggshells.
Yeah, it's like I gotta walk on eggshells.
Disappoint
them. About what I can and can't do and what I can't say all the time. That's a lot. That's a lot to expect from anybody.
It really is.
So people gotta think about that. You gotta be accountable for your own self and your own emotions.
Yes, absolutely.
And I guess that can go back to what you were saying. It's important for us to have those conversations with ourselves while we're single.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And maybe that can reignite my desire to fall in love with Black love.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of being so rash, like, oh, well, since Terrell wants to play games, I'm just going to go and talk to Jimmy.
Right.
See what Jimmy trying to do. You know what I mean?
Right.
Just taking a step back. Because like you said, it may be me. You know, I'm like, you know, I got a pattern here.
Right.
Who I talk to.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
His own game.
And we have to
same,
be honest with ourselves, too, about the type of men that we are attracted to. And what is it about me that's attracting these kinds of guys? Or what is it about what I'm tolerating that causes me to attract these kind of guys? Because I feel like, you know, it may not be that you're a terrible person, but people only do what you allow. And so I feel like guys, in a lot of instances, they try to see what they can and can't do. Like, they test that water early.
See what you can get away with.
See what they can get away with.
Like a child.
And so it's like, okay, if I knock this over, let me see if mommy reacts.
Right.
This is crazy.
You know what I mean? If I do this, let me see if she says something.
Right.
All right. She ain't say nothing about this. All right.
Let me
go do it again. Oh, I'm a try. Let me go a little deeper.
Yeah.
See what else I can get away with.
Now, don't get mad when I get loud. You feel me? I'm like, all right, I'm going to let them slide with that, but I got my eye on them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Do it again.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So
I don't know. It's just like what always looks good to you ain't good for you.
Yeah, that's the truth.
Like your type. It's your physical type, but it just might not be what God wants for you.
Absolutely.
I learned that, like, who I'm with is nothing like my physical type at all. And I'm not his. but it works.
See?
I'm about to drop a gem on y'all.
And it's just so weird to me. Because it's more than that. And then, I mean, I don't want to say that you kind of, they grow into your physical type, but you get used to it because you're in love with the person and their personality and their bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
So with that being said, we can go into a quote that I feel like we've all heard in passing, where it's like, Black women are the most disrespected people, like, in the nation.
Absolutely.
Even though we're the most educated, no one seems to give us credit for much of anything. And when we're angry, it always seems, oh, it's another angry Black woman.
Yep.
But it's like, what are we angry about? When Black women get shot by the police, we're the Black men saying things. But when it's the Black men, the Black women are the first ones front line and center. Our kings is this. I would need to save our children, save our babies. But it's never reciprocated.
Right.
So
to the same degree, because there's always the argument of, oh, we do. And there are men who do.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't feel like it's enough.
It's not
that's
enough.
Just what it is.
It shouldn't be pressure on that small amount of men to do
all the work. Definitely.
Hold your weight.
Hold your weight. Yeah.
Absolutely. That's a word.
That is a word.
I'm feeling that as the name for this podcast.
Mm.
Hold your weight.
That's true.
I'm feeling it.
Just a heavy burden that Black women became for forever. Because Black men have always been demasculated, incarcerated, all the aidants. And Black women have been having to hold the burden of playing both mom and dad sometimes.
Absolutely.
They're getting shipped off to war because they're Black, so they have to take them first. So, like, it's like the country's been built like that, and we get it. But y'all also understand, like, who's been holding it down the whole time?
Facts.
Why y'all going through all that? Like, yes, it sucks, but who's still making sure everything is down? Like, who's making sure you have a home to come back to?
Facts.
It's not fair.
It is not fair.
And I think that's another reason why people would like to date within the race, because sometimes we feel like only a Black man would understand that Black struggle with another Black woman.
Right.
So that's why some people are like, oh, like, we need to keep our families together. You know, like, you guys are messing with the lineage, just the history that's behind it. You don't want your family to get whitewashed in a way.
Right.
Because to them, they're still so ignorant of so many things that their ancestors did. They're like, oh, it's not that big of a deal. Mm-hmm. They don't understand how 400 years of slavery and then a couple more years of segregation doesn't amount to, it's more than the amount of time that we've had now where everything's like, oh, kind of okay.
Right.
Because we still see all the racist people. As soon as Captain Orange became president, everybody came out the woodworks and, like, they're still here. They were hiding, but now they're like, all right, we're cool. Like, we had our cute little 8 years of having a Black man. Well, now they're back and they're in full force.
Yeah, absolutely. Peek-a-boo. They are.
You know what I'm saying? And now it's like, it's going everywhere. He doesn't like Black people. He doesn't like Asians. He doesn't like Nigerians.
He doesn't like himself.
He doesn't like Mexicans. He just doesn't like
nobody.
He doesn't
like his wife.
Exactly.
I'm going to get a lot of backlash from this.
Ooh.
Y'all ready?
I'm scared.
No, but what is it?
I'm scared. Take a sip.
My pastor, she came to me. She said, Shay, I had a dream. And I was like, you had a dream? She was like, yeah, I had a dream about Donald Trump. I was like, oh, what was it about, friend? I was like, what you do? And she said, I had a dream that he's not as bad as we think he is.
Interesting.
I've heard that before.
And she said, I had a dream that he has a relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what?
Praise the Lord.
You know, in my head, I'm like, this is a narcissist. You feel me?
Right, for real.
But I don't want to get into politics, but I was like, I was really surprised by that. And she's anointed, like. Shout out to Complete Restoration Church. She is anointed. So when she said that, it made me take a step back. Still don't like the dude.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But it just made me think about a worldview. There's a lot of people that I may not like.
Right.
Or
right.
I may not agree with how they live their life.
Absolutely.
And make certain decisions. But, you know, that doesn't mean at the end of the day, when behind closed doors, that they don't make necessary steps to become a better person, even
right.
when they ain't shit.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I mean, with somebody like him, you can tell he's obviously a puppet. He's not educated enough for any of the stuff he's doing, all the words
nothing.
That he's saying, like everything, it doesn't really add up. So we know that it's not him. This is that's the fear behind it, though. It's like, this
right.
is legit what America wants.
Right.
They put him here because these are their ideals. He's just the mouthpiece.
Right.
He's been a reality star. If you give him a script, he's going to read it.
Right.
So that's that.
That is so factual.
So that's the scary part. So that's why we feel like we're losing ourselves. And just mixing with people who might believe different things. It's like, oh, hey, mom and dad, here's my Black girlfriend. Her name's Brittany. Oh, when you said Brittany, we thought she was white. Oh, my gosh. Mm. And that was awkward at the dinner table. You don't know what to do. Hmm. And then her family's meeting, just like, oh, he's a white guy. What, you know, like, they just automatically feel like he's going to feel like he's better than them. Like, oh, maybe he can provide more for her. You know, all these things, all these questions that no one would really ask you if he was Black.
Mm.
because they just automatically think he gets this. Like, all right, you know, we know how you drink your Kool-Aid. Like, you know, just regular stereotypes right. we laugh about. He would get those jokes, and if he laughed, it wouldn't be offensive.
Hmm. I think, I don't know who the director is of this film, but it's called Guess Who with Bernie Mac. Mm. I love Bernie Mac. And the black girl brought a white boy home, and then when she brought the white woman, Bernie Mac was like, oh, Sam this, Sam that. He doing this. He raving to all his black friends about right. who he is and how he work at this major company and making mm-hmm. all this money. And then here he come. When they get to the house, the dad immediately assumes that Sam is the black guy that gets off the taxi first mm-hmm. when he actually is the cab driver. Mm-hmm. and then Kerry Washington's like, no, dad, no, this is Sam. And he's like,
oh.
All right, my name is Percy Jones. It's like, oh, he had to put that bass in his voice, let him know, you know, I am a black man. I'm right. a strong black man. You're right. not about to come up in my house
right.
with my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the conversation I had with my dad. Oh, God. This man said he had a flashback of the civil rights movement. Well, I died.
It's just sad that it has to be that way, though. Like, if I want to date a white guy because I feel like, you know, he loves me, I should be able to do that and do it comfortably.
Yeah.
Because you can. I don't want to feel like
pressured.
I have to date a black man out of struggle love. And I mean struggle love back to like slavery struggle right. love. Like, it's oh, because true. Of all these things that have occurred in history, I'm in a sense obligated to deal with
that. That's
crap.
True too.
I just don't see it that way. I do not feel that way. I understand that there's just kind of odds that are stacked against all of us. Mm-hmm. But that's the reality that we live in, and it doesn't excuse their behavior. So it's like,
yeah,
it's just a no for me, dog.
I love our generation because they say millennials, we, not just black women, but women in general, we are focusing primarily on our personal growth before diving into these long-term,
absolutely.
Potentially toxic relationships.
Absolutely.
I'm going to make sure I have all my T's crossed and my I's dotted absolutely. Before I bring you into my circle, because me, myself, I'm an investment.
Right.
My dad, you got to look at men or just dating in general. You got to weigh, like, is this person an asset or a liability?
Right.
Yep. My dad always says that.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So before I invest in this relationship right. up front, keep it real, 100. Are you just trying to go with the flow
right.
and see where this leads to?
Right.
Or are you seriously trying to, wow, I talked to this dude and he was like, I was on this app called Black.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
you guys familiar with that?
I've seen the ad for it. They always put like really cute
black ladies, on be careful. There's a lot of married men on that thing.
Oh, yikes. Dear God.
Wowzers. Wowzers.
I'm not surprised, sadly, but this is part of the problem. Yeah, we're literally talking
if y'all
about.
Can see the way she's looking right now.
What?
Lord.
But one guy, I was like, wow, he's a catch. You know, he had his own job, got his own house, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? You know? And he was like, I'm ready for marriage. I'm ready for that black love, old school, this and that third. And so I was intrigued. I was like, well, do you know what that looks like? Do you know the type of woman that you want to marry? He was like, nah, I was told that when I meet her, I'm going to just know. I said,
you don't know. You still have to have a certain standard of
right.
what you want that to look like. Also, what I've experienced is like, and this is just from experience, I'm sure there are guys who are probably a little bit more in depth. A lot of guys are just like, you know, I want her to be loyal. She can cook it. She can clean. Like,
she gotta cook.
You know, like those kind of surface level.
What stresses me out about those guys, those are the ones that always talk about they want their woman to be submissive.
Mm.
And it stresses me out because I talked about submission before, and it's just like the guys that are always asking for submission are usually the ones that don't deserve it.
Right.
Why am I submitting to you if you don't have a plan for your life?
Exactly.
You don't know what you want to do with right. yourself, but you want me to just follow whatever
you
say.
You have to give me trust. I have to be able to trust that you can lead before I submit to
exactly.
you.
Exactly.
And that's the part that just seems to go.
And then they think you go to Sally and she'll give it to you automatically. Maybe because she's not going to question you or she's not going to ask you a question, but that's because we are trying to make sure you're accountable.
We have to.
If you want to be with right. me and we're putting children into this world, that's a big responsibility.
Absolutely.
Can we pay our regular bills? Can you afford to feed yourself?
Right. Mm.
before you even start worrying about me, before right. you start worrying about adding a child into the right. situation. There's a lot of things like for the rest of your life, because no one's getting married trying to get divorced.
Right.
So it's like, I'm not following you down some dark alley.
Absolutely.
And your GPS ain't working. Like, you don't know where you're going.
You don't know what you want.
You don't know right. what you want.
And that's the problem.
And even if it's like, you know, stereotypical, like basic physical things, you know what I'm saying? At right. least have a list of that and then have a list of the characteristics as well.
Right. I think that's too basic though, because I feel like, okay, I don't cheat on you and I cook and I clean.
Everybody can do that.
Okay, anyone can do that.
Exactly.
Like, where are the men who are asking me, like, okay, do you save money? You know, what are your values about investing your money?
Right.
Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Yes.
What do you see yourself in 10 years? Like, in-depth questions for me to feel like, okay, long-term down the road,
right.
I can trust you.
Yeah. In-depth, uncomfortable questions.
Like, yes. And
let's talk about what
questions that you have to actually
like.
Think about.
Exactly.
The guys that I've ever been in long relationships with is because we could be on the phone for hours and ask me questions where I don't just, red, blue,
right.
green, seven.
Exactly.
You know, all the answers that I just know of that. I'm like, ooh, that's a good question. Let me think about
that
it.
In there.
Oh, exactly. Right.
I didn't mean to, guys. It just happened. But it's the truth. It's like you have to be able to, this thought-provoking questions.
Yes.
It's just,
and being practical, because it's like you can ask those questions. You can want those things. But what is your game plan? Are you actually being practical about taking steps towards doing that?
Right.
So you can say, okay, I want to buy a house in the next 5 years.
With that credit
okay,
score.
Okay, but exactly. What is your credit score like? How much money do you have saved
mm-hmm.
towards buying that house?
Yeah.
You know, like, certain practical steps. And so it's like, don't come in here telling me you want all this stuff and you ain't really doing nothing to get it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Keep me away with that.
Mm-hmm. It's so, like you have a dream but no plan.
Yeah, like
no
you have no plan.
It's like, even if you have a plan and it fails, at least we know you
at least you had a plan.
And then you can just get a backup.
Exactly.
And your backup to the backup, that's fine.
I'm
at
willing
least
to submit to that.
You're trying, you know what you want, you just have to find different ways to get there.
Exactly.
That's cool.
That's life.
Exactly. Because that's how we are.
Exactly.
Like, I know what I want, but it's different ways to get the same thing.
Exactly.
Cool. Mm-hmm. But if you just sit and you're like, oh, I just want to settle down, I want to have kids, I want a loyal woman that can cook. Okay, then what?
No, you just want to get married, plant your seed, and sit back and relax with your corona with alignment.
Right.
That's what you want to do.
Because people fantasize, and that's men and women, they fantasize with this, like, idea of marriage.
Yeah.
But not all the things that come with
the that. Work.
The work.
The fighting.
Effort. The fighting.
Yes.
The money talks. The
all of
agree to disagrees. The all of these things that come
yes.
with
sex. My favorite couple, Kadeen and DeVal Ellis. Do y'all know them? The Ellises? He used to be a football player. Now he's on Tyler Perry Show's Sisters. They have a podcast.
Wow,
nice. And they're like this famous YouTube couple. I'm going to send them to you guys.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you watch them, they talk about like the struggle in their relationship, but they're very real with it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was in the NFL. She was still in college. And they talk about how they used to fight and how he had insecurities. He'd be like, oh, you can't do this because you're my woman. And she's like, what you mean? Like, you're not here. Like, they
right.
talk about all the little things. Because
mm-hmm.
when you see them on YouTube, like, oh, they had the three boys.
So
they're
cute.
So cute. They're making money. They're doing this thing. But then he talked about, all right, he left the NFL. He was broke because he didn't save money. He's trying to marry. He has this new wife who's pregnant. He had all responsibility. He started lashing out on her.
See?
And they talk about all that. And like, you know, she had to come up to him like, yo, like, you can't be doing this. Like, they
yes.
have. And then she had times where she messed up. She had to apologize to him.
Absolutely.
And they talk about their struggle and supporting each other and like all the real work that goes into
absolutely.
A relationship.
Nobody want to talk about that though. They want
yeah.
to talk about how I'm going to cook you meals and keep the house clean.
Right.
And dust your feet off every time you walk in. No.
Exactly.
That's not just what this is.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Got me messed up.
It sounds cute.
It's
it sounds cute.
It's real. And I do believe that marriage is, quote unquote, cute. However,
it sounds
under the right
cute.
Circumstances.
Marriage is a job that you can't clock in or clock out of.
Say that.
Ooh, that's a good.
That's
a good
that's,
one.
That's a good
that's
one.
That's good.
Is
you can't
one.
Decide when you want to take a break.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could go in the bathroom and cry, you know?
Right.
Like, Lord, I'm not strangling.
Stay in my man cave tonight. I'll stay in my man cave tonight. I'll be on the couch.
Right. Go,
just,
you go do
that's
that.
That's all you get.
You go do that.
Just know when you smell this pork chops and gravy, don't
hello?
Come and touch it.
You don't have dinner tonight. It's like, no, because you're still my husband.
I might feed you.
I have to feed you.
That, and that's
brain.
How you know you love somebody, though. When you're
right.
mad at them, but you still want to make sure that they're good.
That's where submission comes into play.
You see what I'm saying? Like, my man's not going to starve just because we're fighting.
Yes, we just talked about that in church yesterday. Like, I choose to serve you in spite of.
Yes.
And I feel like, okay, that's fair because there are going to be days where I don't appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There are going to be days where you may not appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
However, you got to have the basics together at least. Like, you right. can't, I can't feel like I can't trust you and you don't appreciate what I'm doing for you at all
right,
either.
Right,
like,
right.
you got, it's a give and take kind of yeah. thing here.
It's kind of like cooking a meal. You can't have the finished product without the ingredients.
Right.
Or the steps.
Right. right.
you see the image. You know, you're like, oh, you know what? I want a piece of cake.
Right.
All right. Now we need to make it. So now we need to write it down. Then right. we got to go to the store and pick it out.
Mm-hmm.
While you're in the store, you got to make sure it's within your budget.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And then when you purchase it, now you got to get home. Now you got to put in the work.
Mm.
And so then at the end, it may not taste the way you want it to, but right. as long as it still satisfies your hunger.
As long as it's cake.
It's yours.
As long as it's cake.
It's yours.
That's really good. That's actually a good metaphor. Because yes. it's literally, it's like you describe, like you write down the kind of partner you think you want.
Right.
Physically, spiritually, emotionally, like all that good stuff. You go out to the grocery store, you go look for that partner. They look for you type mm-hmm. thing, right? Then you go home and you start the other work where you're baking, putting the flour and the sugar and all right. that stuff. And so that's like, you guys, what do you like? What don't you like? You're right. arguing, you're, you know, going on dates, you meet each other's family. So that's the ingredients. And then you bake it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you like, that's your home and your foundation and your marriage. And then you build on it, like with the layers and all the mm-hmm. icing and all that. Cause yes. that's the kids and all the cute stuff. But the nitty gritty was you whipping them eggs and maybe like there was a couple shells that cracked inside of
it. You gotta get the shells out. Yeah.
You know, you picking
put
them out little by little. Those are the fights.
Got a little,
you
rough
know. So yeah, that's a really good way to look at it. It's such a
that is a good
yeah.
way to
good
look
sense.
At it.
That was
so good.
Wow. No, you know, God just be talking through me.
And yes, listen, and I listen to him.
Yeah, man. I really appreciate this podcast because I don't think there's a lot of men sitting down having these conversations. Maybe there's barbershop talk. I've never
right.
sat in a barbershop.
Right, because we're not allowed to.
You know what I'm saying? to interact with these conversations.
She's getting on my nerves mm-hmm. today. We didn't got into an argument. It's always, I feel like, after the issues occur.
Mm-hmm.
But what about the men who are saying, hey, dog, like, what are you doing so you don't have these issues? What are you
right.
doing so that you're practical and you're making good decisions when you do come across these issues?
Mm-hmm.
How are you building yourself as a man, as an individual, before you go and make an attempt to pursue her?
Yeah.
I don't know if you're ready for that yet, man. Like, what does that look like?
And so it's always good to have a mentor, somebody that you look up to as an individual and as a couple, because then you can ask somebody and they won't be biased. Hopefully that's the type of person you need to look for.
Right.
Because mm-hmm.
They want the best for you. But then it's like, if they get to know your spouse, they want the best for them as well. So
yep.
you might not always be right. So they won't take your side, even though they're the ones that, you know, mm-hmm. they might have to take your husband's side one time. You'd be like, damn. And look at it that way. But those are the type of objective people you need around you to let you know, like, okay, you're doing wrong. Okay, this is how to handle it.
A
stuff like
that.
I don't know if everybody has
absolutely.
That, but it's
yeah.
important.
Mm-hmm. But having friends that way too, like,
yeah.
sometimes you have to evaluate what your circle looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because whether we like to admit it or not, you pick up those habits.
Mm-hmm.
With the people that you spend a lot of your time with.
Yep.
And not to say all your friends have to be on the same wave because everybody is in a different space,
mm-hmm.
but you have to be mindful of who you're spending the bulk of
your time
with
yeah.
and how you're spending that time.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I'm around people and they ain't never holding me accountable, then I look up and it's like, dang, all this time has passed and I ain't grown. I'm still the same person. You know,
right.
like you need people who are like, don't just settle for that.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
You
don't
better.
Have to deal with that. Like, okay, this is cool, but you can do better. Okay, well, what is your plan? Like, asking you those uncomfortable questions. And I just see a lot of, like, guys who was just kind of like, oh, we just kind of hang out. We had fun together.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, oh, okay, cool. We're friends.
Like being somebody's girlfriend for 10 years. When
yeah.
they have
it's like, okay, cool.
You
know, we're friends because, we like to hang out. But that's very surface level.
It
again,
is.
Like, are you pushing me? Are you holding me accountable? Do you call me out even when it does make me uncomfortable?
Mm-hmm.
If that's something that I don't agree with and I feel like, you're being like, oh, sorry, sis. Okay, I understand you're not your type, but I think you're doing a little too much. Or,
mm-hmm.
you know, I feel like you're not being open. Keep in mind what you've been through, not being as open before. Like,
right.
saying things like that, having those uncomfortable conversations. I feel like a lot of guys are like, you know, that's just him. You know,
that's who he
is. You know, that's what he do. What he
right.
wanted to do. You can't do that. You
yeah.
cannot. You cannot do that because you don't push him to be better.
If
nor will he reciprocate that.
Yeah.
yeah. If that's really your friend, they're gonna want to push you.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
So.
Yeah. That's facts, man.
Yeah.
I guess to something to take home and think about in your own time is, what is love? is the current love that I am experiencing genuinely what it is?
Right.
You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Is this person like really like in love with me, or are they infatuated with me?
Right.
Does he care about me, or does he care about what I can do for him, mm-hmm. or what he can benefit from this relationship?
Right.
And then kind of hold on, like hone in on like self-love.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah.
That's like, okay. I love myself.
That's the one truth be told.
I think for me, sometimes I confuse loving myself is like doing stuff like getting my nails done.
Right.
And, you know what I'm saying? I think it's deeper than that.
It's way deeper. Absolutely. Yeah. That's nice to do.
Yeah.
That's
like self-care, but that's not
self-love.
I am confident in who I am.
Right.
And what it looks like for how, you are your example of how you want to be loved.
Yep.
I think. Mm-hmm. And so it's just like,
yep.
If I don't love myself enough to do or not do certain things, mm-hmm. what is that going to look like when I allow somebody else into my space?
Right. I saw a meme like that last week, and it was like a girl that was on like this big purple block, and it was a guy down below.
Oh, yes.
And he was trying to reach up to her.
Yes.
And she's like, oh, I can't reach. And she's like, oh, well, you're not on my
level.
Well,
then, oh, wow. If you ain't trying to do the work to climb, then
you know
I don't have anything to give
like,
you because
baby
I'm
boy
not
didn't have a
down.
Ladder or nothing.
Yep.
And they try to make us. Right. He's just like, I'm here, so now
but
what I want
you. But the thing is that there were handles there for him to climb up there to meet her. He didn't want to do that.
Yeah. So it really is like self-love is being happy within yourself.
Right.
Knowing what you do and do not deserve and being able to speak up for yourself and saying no when you know that this is a deal breaker. I can't take this. And if you can't respect that, then we don't need to be together.
Absolutely.
No matter what race you are, no matter if you're my type or not.
Right.
You need to think about what's important to you. And if we go back to talking about race, you need to think about, is your culture that important to you that mm-hmm. you feel as though you don't feel like sharing it with somebody else?
Right. Yeah.
Can this person still fit into your lifestyle because of their personality and like, okay, do they make a good parent?
Yeah.
Will they make a good partner? Can you guys make decisions together? Do they respect you?
Because
you can, again, find someone who's your race and they don't give two shits about you, honestly.
Yes. That's factual.
So it's just like, what are we really looking at here? I know for me it's still kind of different because I have a preference, but a preference doesn't mean that I'm down in anyone else who's
Absolutely.
Anything else. And I think that's what people get messed up with.
Yes, they
it's
do.
Like, oh, you like light-skinned girls, that means you think dark-skinned girls are ugly. That's not
well,
what
you
that
hate
means.
Black women.
You just have a
right.
preference, and that's fine, but just don't try to impose your preference on everybody else. Like, oh, you know, lighter girls or white girls are more whatever, saying all these
yes.
things that aren't true, because then you're bringing people down. It's just
yes.
like, do what you want to do and just leave it at that. That's what
Absolutely.
You like, cool, ride with that, but you don't have to bring somebody else down to prove that, oh, yeah, I'm secure in my relationship with this white girl. Then
mm-hmm.
just be secure.
Yes, exactly.
You don't have to explain everything.
And it's like, are you really secure? Or is this kind of relationship with the woman who you feel like is going to, like, feed into your foolishness,
mm.
making you feel this false sense of security?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that meme, I don't even think that I mentioned that meme of the recorded,
the bride,
at least,
the
of the bridesmaids.
Yeah.
And they were all white, except for one.
Mm.
And I'm pretty sure probably most people have seen it. And it said, we know that all of them are submissive except for one.
Right.
Clearly they're talking about the black
one. The black one, yep.
And it's like,
why?
That makes me think about this whole preference, air quote thing. Like,
mm-hmm.
there's one thing to have a preference. But there's another when you're justifying your preference when it's by insulting black women.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just like who you like. Nobody's pressing you out about that.
Mm-hmm.
But I am going to press you out if you're going to try to throw that stereotypical bullcrap on me.
Right.
Period.
Just because you weren't worth submitting to.
Right.
And so you have not experienced that. So be accountable.
Yeah.
Like, that's just what it is. Be accountable.
You know, it's also a stereotype for white women if you think about it. Because there's not all white women that will take a black man's BS. Because a man's BS is a man's BS.
That's
like
true.
Any man of any race can cheat on you and be irresponsible and not have money that, you know, he needs to have his home or whatever. Like, that's with anybody. That's
right.
just men in general
yeah.
or people in general.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go meet a white girl named Sally who challenges you, it's just like being with a black girl named Brittany. Like, either
Absolutely.
Way, this woman is calling you out on your shit. And maybe you can't handle that,
it's
but they automatically
character.
Just assume that, like, oh, yeah, she's white, so she doesn't care. That's not true.
Mm-hmm.
There's white women that care,
types.
Too. And yeah.
Rodney O'Brown. He tried it.
You see?
He had to call the feds, get them keys back. Okay.
So it's like, it's not just, you know,
yeah.
them. And then there's some black women that'll take a whole lot
yes.
more than you would ever think that they
yes.
would take. And still have a smile on their face and be cooking this man dinner with a black eye and talking to kids like, oh, just go to sleep. Your dad's home now. You know what I'm saying? Like,
that's
people
true.
Still handle a lot of shit.
Very
true.
Careful. disrespecting a black woman that makes your meals.
You should.
You should.
Don't.
Anybody. I don't play with anybody.
Anybody that makes
your meals. I don't care what you look
like. That's why I've been at the weddings. They were spitting
exactly.
Your
I don't care what you look like.
Like, go ahead and finish that cone.
I am not playing with your food. Mm-hmm. Or I'm not playing with you if you're making my food.
Yeah, no, absolutely not.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Listen.
Word to the wise.
Word to the wise. I think it's important for all of us, not just black women, women in general, to understand that we have the power to choose.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's so, my dad was like, do you know that men can't just walk up to a woman and be like, you're going to be my girlfriend?
That's true.
I was like, I'm like, sir.
Why?
10 feet, back up.
Right. Why should I?
Right.
Should
if you don't
want to
go to jail, he's going back up.
Oh, he's going back up.
That's a sad story, but yeah.
You know,
you also have to be careful because of all the craziness.
I can choose if I want to call you back or not. I can choose if I want to text you back or not. I can choose if I want to go on a date with you. I can choose if I want to be in a relationship with you. It's my choice.
Yeah.
And you can pursue all you want, but if I genuinely just don't feel like you're someone that I want to be in a relationship with or even entertain.
Mm-hmm. It's just what it is.
I'm going to keep it pushing, you know? And I think sometimes, just me personally, just being single, it can be discouraging because I'm like, oh my gosh, like, I keep seeing the same stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then
it's very much a lot of the same thing out here still.
Still.
Of all age groups.
It's scary.
Don't get it twisted because they're not 20, 25, 24 like us that, or 26, that it makes a difference. No, nope.
That's another reason why people stay in relationships with people that they might not want to stay
in
relationships
with. They're afraid of starting
over. Starting over. And like, what, if you look about what is out there.
Girl.
Trash.
A whole lot of bazooka.
Basura.
It's whole crazy. Lot of it.
So, I read
it's scary.
I read an article about a 70-year-old woman who is married to a man who does not know how to save money.
I rebuke that.
In the name of Jesus.
Devil get behind him.
Christ
compels. And I read that article and she was like, I'm 7 years old. I want to leave him, but I've been with him and da 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 da. And she's so afraid to throw away the time that she invested.
That's a long
time. It is.
She's Jesus. Like, all he does is he comes home. You know, I work. He doesn't work. He doesn't save
acrimony.
Exactly.
And she's like, I don't know if I should leave him. I'm like, look, I'm reading an article like, sis. You, if you 70 years old and you've been eating your cabbage.
Right.
Okay. And drinking your water.
That's
okay.
It.
Friend, you got a good 10, 20 years, depending on your relationship with Jesus.
Okay.
You can take a couple cruises.
Okay.
And
that's
meet
it.
A couple Stanleys.
That's
right.
It.
With
your
coin.
Yes.
Stanleys.
Yes.
But seriously, though, that's the truth.
Listen, she here for a good time, not a long time. Go for it.
The right
go
is over.
I would be hitting it hard and fast that 70.
Okay. But at that age, who going to tell you no? Like, you can do what you want.
You can do whatever you want
to
do.
You're not looking for nothing but a good time.
But that's what I mean by, like, settling. Like, why do we have to settle?
Right.
Or why are we made to feel like we have to settle? Like,
I just won't get no better.
Like
I'm getting old. It's because we have this biological time clock, too. It's like after 35, we feel like we're eggs all fried up.
I'll adopt them.
And I'm going to put cheese on them.
Okay.
If he come up in here acting crazy.
Okay.
Like, yep.
Scrambled.
But I don't know. It's just societal pressure that they put on us. Because guys can be 42 and have a baby.
Right. And
but
they won't do anything
us,
to them.
We're high-risk pregnancies. And now everybody's looking at
it
you
can
like
literally
you,
kill us.
You know, like you chasing a toddler around and when your back hurting, your titties are sagging
exactly.
A little bit. You know, you just it just looks different.
It can literally kill us.
That
and
reminds,
it's just
yeah.
too many jokes. And it's just
yeah.
a lot. I don't know.
What's that story in the Bible about, was it Abraham and his wife?
Sarah.
And she got pregnant and she was really old.
She was real old.
Man, God got a sense of humor.
He sure did.
I wish you would flip these eggs. You better lay me alone.
But she was praying for that, though.
She
kept asking for a son.
But why?
But he gave it. Plus some. He got a whole nation out of that.
Yeah. Right. I mean, and he lived longer, too.
Yes,
you know,
he
people
did.
Used to live a lot
they
longer.
They used to
back
live
then.
Real long.
They was like 400.
They was eating natural, organic.
Okay.
There wasn't no seasoning on none of
nothing.
That stuff.
They was just raw. Just...
But that bread probably was snacky.
Oh, I'm.
Okay.
Sure
oven baked. They didn't have ovens then. They had
with the brickstone fire.
Brickstone fire.
Yeah,
or something.
Child. It's probably
I know
real
that.
Smoky.
I know right over the burning bush.
I feel like Christian
good.
Jokes are
the best
jokes.
The best.
Oh my God. I remember my dad came in the house. I was like, look at you over there. Look like the prodigal son. It's just some stuff. It's just funny. Like,
it's funny.
Know. It's just funny.
Oh, ladies, man. Let's wrap it up. We got 60 whole seconds left.
Yeah, right.
Oh, man, we've really given a lot in this very brief, what has it been, 40 minutes?
Something like that. It was good.
With the recording, but it was good. I hope that you guys learned something from this. Yeah. Thank you for tuning into another episode of The Junk. Out of the Trunk Podcast. One day I'll be able to say my own stuff. I'm taking a break for like 2 weeks after this, y'all, because school is on and popping. So keep your eyes out for season 3. I got some good things stuff for y'all coming up. And peace.
Bye.
Love and soul.
I said I'm Danny's picture.